Hello, and welcome to another shiny new episode of Esposito. This episode is brought to you by the letter dumbfuckery and the number yeet. You'll understand that soon. It is the dumbest thing that I think we've ever done in an episode of Esposito. It's also probably one of my favorite sessions to run. We had a lot of fun. This is short and sweet as an intro. I'm going to ruin that now. I always ruin that. I always say that, and then I go on for a bit, like I'm doing right now. Anywho, if you like us, leave us a rating or a review. If you don't, then keep quiet. And yeah, that's about it. Enjoy the episode.
Last session, you had a chat with Shinetop, Phineas Flimplam, who, in character, you know him as Phineas Flimplam. Out of character, you obviously know him as Damson, you nasty.
Damson?
You nasty. He essentially told you what you're up against. He doesn't have many details, but you found out the creature that has been behind the Zamoran invasion and seems to be behind the Infinity Core build-up is a Xenoterium. And he gave you some indication of what Xenoterium are about, which is pulling sections of space into subdimensions and then removing them from the dimension that you exist in. And you got the impression that possibly Korchev is in some way being controlled. Now, this is where I get a little bit fuzzier, because when it comes to planning, you guys go neither very big nor very small, just sort of average. As in, like, big picture, small picture, you go sort of middle picture where you start talking about how you're going to do it, but not the minute detail or exactly what it is you're going for. So I think you're trying to kidnap Korchev, is that right?
That's where you're wrong. We're trying to kidnap the Crucible and make it look like we've kidnapped Korchev. You see, there's a plan within a plan, and that plan will seem like it's starting to fail. But when that plan is failing, actually, the second plan is being enacted and going off without a hitch. Right, guys?
Aye, that.
No, you're right. The first time I have no idea what's going on.
So, you had a conversation with Pax about possible ways of boarding the Sao Paulo. Pax's suggestion was just firing you in spacesuits across the void of space at the Sao Paulo. There was also the possibility of flying the Golden Rose past the Sao Paulo and jumping from the Golden Rose onto the Sao Paulo, doing the same but with a stolen Promethean ship, which Pax has kind of given you a little bit of a nudge and a wink and said that you can do it fairly easily. Don't steal that ship. And the other one was sort of a mix of the two, where you're on the nose of a ship. It takes you some of the way, you jump off, the ship stops, you fly towards the Sao Paulo at a shorter distance and a higher speed.
See, I thought stuff was being said that, like, we would have a literal boarding torpedo. Like, we'll be shut out, and then that would, like, hit the ship, open up, and we'd be able to board that way.
I realise that's what you said, but there's a reason that the Conclave and Pax can't authorise that, which is basically
be a solid act of aggression.
Yeah, they'd be firing a torpedo. Like, whether or not you're boarding doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
I think the key with it was all, they are not
torpedo-y.
Well, they're just, yeah. It can't be necessarily taken back to them, and it should be as quiet as possible.
It won't be.
It won't be, no, we all know that.
But Pax lives in eternal hope, apparently, so let's disappoint him.
He just wants to be at arm's length from it, is the impression you got. Like, he is happy to help you at arm's length.
That's fair.
Right, I've actually got an idea about how we can use that Promethean ship. So, the first part of the plan is go with the spacesuit ideas with some, you know, rudimentary correction thrusters. Now, the way I figure it is if we can, with a bit of a nudge from a ship, push off in the spacesuits, we can get a good 40, 50 miles an hour through a vacuum. 5 hours of travel, be a bit uncomfortable, but we can roughly get about, what, 250, 300 miles in that time, depending. And we're small enough to stay off radar, so we could possibly, if we can use the corrective thrusters to slow ourselves down on landing, we can, you know, land undetected. As we're doing this, I think what we do, we take this Promethean ship and we launch it into space, a couple of sectors out from the core, not quite in scanner range for the Sao Paulo, just on the edge of scanner range. Then we rig it to blow, set the reactor to overload. Now, even if the ship isn't on their scanners, you can bet your life that they're going to detect a nuclear explosion in space on the edge of their periphery. Now, by the time they've figured out whether it's a supernova or a nuclear attack or just a ship overloading, while they're doing all that, pretty much all of their attention is going to be focusing on the other way. I reckon it will give us enough of a distraction to land ourselves quietly on the exterior of the ship.
It's a good plan, but there's one flaw that I can see. Because we're having to steal the ship, we're going to have to steal that thing and bug out for Pax to have any kind of plausible deniability. So that means we're going to have to rig the ship to blow in the air as we're traveling in hostile space.
Does Pax need plausible deniability? Because with this plan, all he's doing is he's scuttling one of his excess ships. That's not an act of war.
Does he have excess ships?
Well, he's an old Promethean junker, you know. He don't need it. I'm sure a man of his authority can find us something that he's happy to just scuttle in space. Don't even have to be a ship. It could be a nuclear test, well permitted in his own territory by any conventions. Don't have to be an act of aggression, is my point. Peacocking at best.
I think it'd take some convincing. If I was in Pax's shoes, I wouldn't be thrilled about...
Well, the way I read it, Pax would do a lot for this Korchev fella. They definitely seem to have history.
True, true.
And it's him we're going after.
Do you know what as well, Hood? He is through and through a soldier. So if you were to maybe speak to him, I could... Obviously, he likes me, because we have some kind of weird affinity. I don't know why. It's almost like, yeah, something is controlling us that was... Yeah, I don't know how to explain it. But, Hood, if you were to speak to him and I could aid you, and I think that your soldier kind of background would very much... he'd very much listen to you.
I don't know. We might both be soldiers, but there's a lot of bad blood between... the Prometheans and the humans at the best of times, and, you know.
Hey, he didn't kill us or arrest us when we arrived. That's a start.
Already know full well that he has quite a close relationship with Korchev, a human.
Worth a bash, anyhow.
Yeah, I mean, yes, yeah, it's as good an idea in it as any, so, I mean, I'm up for it. Any help you guys can give me will be appreciated, but, yeah, I mean, so we're looking to take a junker and scuttle it on the edge of space.
Well, just anything that can create a radiological alarm for them on the edge of their scanners. I'm just saying a junker, because that's probably the easiest thing. I mean, if he wants to give us a nuke, then he's more than welcome.
Okay.
I mean, given a bit of time, I could rig something, surely. I'm absolutely fine at chemistry. I'm sure I could rig something, but it'd involve a few hazardous materials that I'm sure they're not quite willing to give over willy-nilly.
I think it's quite a good idea, and the slow approach rather than the kind of fly-by, jump onto the Sao Paulo, I think is preferable. And
the way I see it is there's five of us. Hang on, there's four of us. And I just don't think going guns blazing into a capital ship's the best recipe for success from the off.
John, how long does air last in one of these suits, space suits?
Now, I'm glad you've asked that question, because I tried to look up how much O2 spacesuits in Espigenesis last, and there is no answer. So I looked up how much oxygen is in a current day spacesuit, which obviously is a little bit bulky, but, you know, we're talking thousands of years in the future. In a current day spacesuit, there's about 18 hours. So I would say slim and probably... Like, if not double the amount of oxygen, at least keep it the same. You've got plenty.
I mean, if anything, that would be like, I would want less. Cause, I mean, can you imagine if you fucked up in space and you found yourself, like, just tumbling away and you've got 18 hours to wait to suffocate?
Oh, I'm sure you can do it if you need it soon.
I can download a podcast.
See, this is why our listeners tune in to hear this kind of quality. Scientific.
Yeah, listeners, back. If you fell into space, how quickly would you want to die?
Bear in mind, any way that you die is going to be long and painful, but do you want to drag it out in the hope of rescue, which is definitely not going to happen?
If I start to go mad and George Clooney like suddenly flies up to me and has a little chat, then I'd choose that option.
Yeah, like going mad is a little bit fun, isn't it?
Let us know in the comments below.
Personally, I'd die from a lack of insulin long before any of that happened, so... Oh, shit, no, I won't. Oh, God, no! Now I've got the pump, I wouldn't.
Damn you, technology!
Oh, I couldn't take it off. I'd be wearing a space suit. They wouldn't let me in space. It's fine. So you would have enough oxygen, is the point, I guess.
Cracking?
See, when you said, I'm glad you asked, I thought you were going to, like, mess us up with something, but it just turns out you had some facts to share, which was actually quite...
Yeah, I was genuinely expecting that to get poo-pooed.
No.
5 minutes, you would all die.
And you're perfectly capable of doing that. I'm just glad you asked. If you didn't ask, then I did that research for fuck all. I mean, it wasn't a lot of research. I didn't even click on the page. It was.
I was going to say that's like 2 Wikipedia searches at most.
It was just like NASA was one of the first hits that came up, and it had a spacesuits contain 18 hours of oxygen. I was like, you know what? That's good enough for me. I don't need to dig deeper. Because I'm part of this generation. I don't need more than a single line of information.
Or really information on spacesuits. Like, our kids, maybe. Like, Billy might go to space.
Oh, holy shit.
He could be the first person on Mars.
I really thought you were going to say in space there, and I just felt like...
Oh, Mike. I have got some dreams to shatter for you.
No, it's all a conspiracy there. No one's ever been in space.
Flat Earth, I'll have you know that space is actually a giant flat disc. It's final.
All the way down.
And no one knows what the song is, but the day we find out is the day we meet God.
I love it.
I hate you.
I'm on board. All right, let's find out what this vinyl is. No, hang on. We've gone off track. Where were we? Yes, you can travel through space for like 5 or 6 hours.
And the secondary question, not that Dora would probably know this, thrusters on a spacesuit. If you were going at a certain speed, say 50 miles per hour, could you course correct?
Over.
Yeah, I imagine you probably could if you timed it right, yeah, but...
Would they be built into the spacesuit, or would it be like a separate sort of EVA rig type dealie?
Again, we have these on spacesuits now.
Basic ones do exist on spacesuits. For course corrections where you want to be that precise, where you're trying to land on another ship, you'd probably need something more advanced. But again, and you've got a free line of credit, so you can afford it. It's kind of the point. Like, you could upgrade your spacesuit thrusters. I'm not going to begrudge you that, because it would be far too fun for you to fly through space in spacesuits trying to land on.
What you mean, John, is it'd be far too fun for us to try this and then flunk the rolls?
I'm looking forward to Dora dying from this.
No, because I can live for 36 hours in space, and who knows who's going to pick her up.
What I will also say, Rebook, this is obviously something you've never done. I just called you D4, by the way. I'm sorry about that. But you do have a drone.
I do. I could just send the drone with you guys instead.
That wasn't what I was suggesting, but I fucking love it. Yeah. Right?
Can it, like, drag us the right way?
Well, I was more thinking it could nudge you the right way, but...
I mean, I don't see why not. Yeah, it would be a nudge rather than the drag.
Like, it doesn't need to breathe, so... I'm not quite sure. Like, the only issue I actually do have is what's its speed, because it might not be able to keep up with you if you're travelling at 40 to 60 miles an hour.
Good question.
It sort of holds on to you until... It's necessary.
Yeah, maybe Rebook, it can help you, but it wouldn't be able to help the others.
Unless we all hold hands.
That seems like a terrible idea.
But I'm not old enough for 5 hours.
Get sweaty. Clammy hands.
I think it's 60 feet.
Yeah, it's not going to be able to travel. Well,
that's about 40 miles an hour.
I was going to say, like, 60 feet per 6 seconds is...
And if it's only dashing as well.
Shit, yeah. Tom, I'm imagining that you're looking this up right now to figure out how fast that is. Tom Kirk.
It's about 40 miles an hour, 60 feet. I've looked this up before, 60 feet is about 40 miles an hour.
So if it's dashing, it's...
I love all this kind of preparation. And then as soon as we do this, it's just going to be over in 5 minutes, probably.
There's a love life joke in there somewhere.
End of my sex tape? Or...
Yeah, something like that.
60 feet per 6 seconds is 600 feet per minute, right? Because you just multiply it by 10. 600 feet a minute is just under 7 miles an hour. That can't be right.
What is up with imperial measurements? Why are they so fucking stupid and weird? Like, just base 10, motherfucker. Why? What? Base fucking 8, 12, 16, 3.
A piece of stone?
So, 600 feet per minute.
Oh, hang on, wait, no, wait. I'm doing 60 feet a second when I've done all this. Yeah, 10. So if you divide that by 6, so it's 10 feet per second. Is 7 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're
going to double that, you're going at 14 miles an hour. So it's not going to be fast enough, but it can stay attached to you and ignite its thrusters to give you a little bit of a boost. Cool. You just can't help anyone else.
That is still relatively quite fast. Like, for something that you could, like, potentially sort of, like, just hang off of and just fly around on.
Yeah, I imagine they'd sell a lot of them at, like, Toys R Us.
And then there'd be a lot of lawsuits.
All right. No personal injury claims in space, boo.
In space, no one can hear you litigate.
Basically, in terms of having the navigational thrusters on the spacesuits and Rebook having his drone to assist, that's fine. You have that. You can have that if you want it.
Of course I want it.
There's no reason not to have it.
I want it bad.
Even if you don't do this plan, obviously, buy that.
So what's the next step?
Speak to Pax and get this ship, I guess.
Oh, yeah, it's my favourite bit. It fucks up John's voice. He thought it was over for him.
He thought he got out, but we pulled him back in.
That's right. You warm up. You start, you know.
Yeah. Pumpkin head! Fuck off.
Raisin face! A little bit of this.
What are you doing?
You ever done that one before?
No.
Sorry, I was neglecting the balls.
Okay, now I get it. Yeah, I get you. Yeah. All right. Same thing.
So we go to Pax.
So you make your way to Pax. He's actually... still in the flight deck. Like, you were having this conversation in the flight deck near the Golden Rose. He is still there. He's not quite left yet. So it doesn't take you long to get to him.
Is it a bit awkward? Is it sort of like we just turn around like, hi, Pax.
I thought we said goodbye.
Actually,
we've just been talking, like, a few feet away from him about this for, like, the last 15
minutes. No, you were further than that away. Like, you're on the other end of the flight deck. Right.
No. We were literally right next to him, John.
Yeah, he's just standing there listening.
Yeah, he wasn't even talking to anyone else. He was just looking at a bulkhead.
If this was a movie, the close-up would have been on, like, all of us kind of gathered together having this conversation, and then, like, the camera would have panned over slightly, just two packs, just like, oh.
Stood right next to him, looking at a bulkhead, really thoughtfully, and then occasionally counting on his hand.
It'd have been like a Wes Anderson cut, like a scene at a Grand Budapest Hotel. Just like, oh.
There he is.
It's you.
Oh, hey. I thought our conversation was over. Are we,
Oh, you thought, no, I don't do that. But,
Here's the thing. We thought our plan was a little bit shit. So we thought we'd refine it slightly. And my friend Hood here, you know the soldier? Pretty sick soldier, actually. Got quite the record. I'm sure you may have pulled up his file, but he had a really good idea.
And he turns his gaze to you.
That is us, as in the gang.
If this happens, I'm gonna like jab my pinky into the side of Hood and give him a little boost, so to speak. You get a plus 1d4 to your next roll.
Ow!
Just, goddamn pinky. So we were hoping to utilize one of your ships, kind of a shuttle or a junket you might have, and basically scuttle it on the edge of the sector to use it as a distraction while we drop in on the Sao Paulo, EVA style. Using our spacesuits and our thrusters to kind of redirect. It'll give us some time to come in under their radar, come in undetected, you know, hit the Sao Paulo, breach in, and move through that way. And then use the action of the nuclear explosion as cover.
Roll persuasion with advantage because of the soldier background, and add the D4 as well.
Cool.
As Pax's face is just entirely passive.
Thank God I've got the extra D4. That was a 19.
Sure.
Oh, wow, cool.
Great.
Do you have a specific ship in mind, or?
No. It just sounds like fun.
Hud just sort of narrows his eyes and goes, okay.
And Pax, again, remains passive for a second.
You have no idea how bored I am.
I'm starting to get an idea.
Don't ever go into command. It's like soldiering admin with none of the fun.
I've punched way too many people for anyone to consider me going into command.
I thought I'd done that too.
Oh, no. Just a look of quiet terror just comes over Hud. And he sort of looks away and just goes, oh no.
Hud, die young.
I've been trying.
That's why I bought a grenade launcher.
Sure. I don't know. I'll make sure we've got a damaged fighter or something, and I'll have it sent off, scuttled in. I mean, it'll be further away than we would usually scuttle, but it's fine. I'll have one of the techs loaded with some sorium. It'll be distracting.
Can you send us an ETA to our space Apple smartwatches and
rig?
That's the word.
Okay, are you taking space apples with you? Because
good god, no. I mean, they're so unstable and explosive.
You don't want to get space. They're
nearly as bad as space hay.
Yes, they are. I'm so glad you knew that.
Oh, good. It just seems like if you're trying to do something quietly, space apples and a grenade launcher, like, good God.
Don't even talk about them.
We don't even have any on board. If you had some with you, I would be like, no, you need to get off my ship right fucking now.
No, I'm glad we don't have any on board. That would be a war crime. I mean, the convention alone.
It is incredibly illegal.
Is this canon?
I have one.
Yes,
now it's canon.
Like, the phrase, how do you like them apples, is considered hate speech in this universe because of the atrocities that were committed.
I'm going to have to get my hands on some space apples now, like, before the end of this campaign.
You are going to have to go to the dark web and you are going to end up on a list, my friend.
Good job, I know a guy.
Yeah. Even he wanted to do space apples.
Can I just lean into Pax and just say, look, mate, it's never too late. You may think that you're a pencil-pushing bureaucrat right now, but if you want, you can always come with us. And if you don't, well, look for my signal. and on my command, unleash hell. I'm not going to say what the signal is, shh, and I just run my hand down his face. You'll know.
I don't know. I mean, I'm meant to be stopping a galactic incident that could result in war, so it feels like I should say no, but I won't. But I still might. But I won't, definitely.
That's all I need.
Harden's just looking between the two of them with a mix of revulsion and confusion.
Just you wait, Hood, and I run my hand down his face as well.
He goes to, and I just grab Dora's wrist, and I just go, the pinky was enough.
I just wiggle it in his like his face from where he's been gripped.
I need a contested. I don't know what you want to do, Dora, but how do you need to do a dex save? Dora, I guess it's not quite sleight of hand because you're just doing it. So maybe performance.
I'll do a performance. It's not very good. 11.
Thank God I got another 90.
Yeah, you grab her hand.
So she just wiggles her like half pinky and says, shh.
Hud shudders and just walks away.
Wisely so.
Okay, when your friend asks about sending an ETA, just tell me when you need it. We can have it done.
I think you meant the estimated time of explosion.
I'm pretty sure we can rig that. You tell us when you want the explosion, we make an explosion. Oh, comms. Okay. I guess I'll just have to give you a
countdown. I mean, that was just... Okay!
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 Carry on.
Sorry. Little Wayne was just here. It was crazy.
Till them apples drop from my...
Not the apples.
Was it Little Wayne or was it Little John?
Little John.
Little John, yeah. Little John was just here.
Oh, skeet, skeet.
Literally, he's done nothing, but he has to be credited because he turned up, and contractually, because he turned up, we have to credit him. We also have to let him yell okay.
As part of his contract, this episode is actually just going to be titled Featuring Lil Jon.
Come on and make it happen.
That's the entire title. His agent is very, very persuasive. No, not very good, but very persuasive.
No, the name of the episode needs to be Space Jam featuring... No, Space Jump? Spaceman Can Jump featuring Lil Jon.
It was great just listening to you workshop that yourself. Space Jam, Space Jump. Spacemen can't jump.
Space John can jump for money. I don't know.
Space John Lil Jam in Space Jump.
All I'm going to say is you can put a cat in the oven. That don't make it a biscuit.
Just a quick disclaimer for our listeners. Don't put cats in ovens. They do not like it.
Yeah, really don't. It was one of my favourite quotes from White Men Can Jump. It's such an innocuous comment. Like, I've only watched the film once, and that is all I remember from that film.
Is this the same film as White Men Can't Jump? Or is it a different film?
I don't know.
It's the sequel.
It might be the same film. I might just...
Because Woody Harrelson had already proved it in the first one.
I knew about that film that I don't even know what it's called. But I remember that quote because it really stood out to me as a fucking bizarre thing to say. So that's been...
Do you know what? I actually think I remember the quote. Yeah, I think I'm with you on this.
I've watched that film once. That is all I remember. You can put a cat in the oven, but that don't make it a biscuit. And the worst, worrying thing about it is, it's true. I just don't know why it needs to be said. Don't put cats in the oven. You can't
all expect them to come out as biscuits.
Definitely don't do that. Your cooking skills are lacking.
Because the cat will die and you'll be disappointed.
This message is Esposito approved.
It's a PSA.
The more you know.
I've forgotten where we were.
Axe is saying...
Oh, yeah.
Give you an ETA or an ETA.
All stems from Little John.
Once you've made the jump, I can ensure the ship blows up in, I don't know, how long do you think it's going to take?
Well, I'm not the most scientific. Actually, do you know what? Can I take a sip of the juice that I got from the...
Oh my god.
Mixed with my rum.
A thinking man's mojito.
You know what?
Now you have +2 to your intelligence. If you want to try and figure it out, you can make an astrophysics check with disadvantage because you're not looking at any information. You're just guessing.
Well, based on what Dumas said, he said something around 5 hours. But let me just try and calculate. Do you know what? That's really good. I rolled 2 18s. That's a 20, non-natural.
Gangster.
So you know that the jump will take roughly 5 hours. Give or take half an hour either side. You're not going necessarily in a straight line. Do you want the ship to explode when you land or once you're inside?
I think before. I think while we're still in the... Oh, wait, hold on.
The plan was before so that we can get on their ship with the least amount of attention.
What if, I know this is probably one in a million chance, but what if like fighters have deployed to go out and they just like hit us?
What?
Or if the ship moves to investigate, we're going to have some difficulty.
Yeah.
We're going to be really small.
If the ship itself moves to investigate, we're only going to have the chance to make relatively small corrections. We're not going to be able to chase down a ship moving to investigate.
I mean, would they? I don't think they'd need to because they would move for visual investigation and that's like the last thing that you'd need to do, right?
They might not want to give away their strategic
position. The ship itself probably wouldn't move because they have scanners, they have sensors, and they have smaller craft that they can send because it's, what you're talking about is quite a long way out from their position and, you know, moving your flagship. Basically, so Tommy's right. They probably wouldn't move the ship necessarily.
It really depends where we're landing, though. So if we're landing near a hangar and then a big squadron of fighters come out and hit us head on.
So this is kind of all going through Dora's head. She's trying to figure it out and Patrick's just stood there looking at her.
You don't need to tell me right now how long you would like it. You could tell me later.
Well, it takes about 5 hours for us to hit the ship, theoretically. So we'll decide between us and let you know.
Okay.
And when I say us, I'm also including you in that.
I wouldn't help at all.
It's more of a kinsmanship.
Okay, I can stay with you.
I see that you're a man who likes a bit of chaos. And let me tell you, that shit's about to ensue.
But you know it shouldn't.
Here, have some of this. I pass him the drink.
With a +2 intelligence.
Yep.
He takes it and drinks it without asking a question. You handed him a bottle.
Why would you give me this?
How do you feel, mate?
Good.
Come, join me. We're intelligent now. We can talk to these people.
A little bit more bored, I suppose.
Oh, no. Have you started to enjoy the admin all of a sudden?
I was just able to shut my mind off from it and let it wander. And now, the crushing reality of what my life has become has dawned upon me.
Oh, fantastic, Dora. You've bottled existential dread. I hope you're happy.
Oh, God.
Easy. Hud is going to throw a filthy look at Dora and then just walk over to Pax and just put a hand on either of his shoulders and just go, breathe in through the nose, out through the mouth. In through the nose, out through the mouth. Life is meaningless, and that's okay. Repeat after me. Life is meaningless, and that's okay.
Life is meaningless.
And that's okay. And that's okay. And that's okay.
Destiny is all.
No.
And that's okay.
Because I make my own meaning without needing meaning to be ascribed onto me.
I don't know if you noticed, but I'm a little more intelligent than I was, and that sounds like some hippie bullshit to me.
I'm trying to help you. If you don't want me to help, I will leave you to this existential spiral.
He's got a point there, Hud, and Dora takes another sip of her intelligence juice.
You know what? Fuck you both. I don't even know why I tried to help. And I leave.
You can only use that one more time.
You just do I get plus two each time, or is it just like a cap?
Like, It's got a certain number of uses.
Did I make a note of that?
Yes, you can use it one more time.
Great, okay, I bottle it up and put it in my overcoat.
Hud walks off grumbling about therapy he got out of a cereal box that one time. And
Pax sort of looks down at his feet and says, maybe I should go kill Jefferson.
Maybe you should have said what? What do you say?
I said maybe I should go and kill Jefferson Knight because, you know, one of us would die and it'd be something to do. He'd make it fun.
Might as well be him, right? But also...
I was more thinking, like, if I told him in advance, then we could have a bit of a cat and mouse. One of us would die. It'd give me something to do.
You know what, though? I heard that he was okay for a human.
He is okay for a human. That's why I want him to kill me or me to kill him.
You get on that and we'll start saving the universe. I pat him on the shoulder.
No. I'm with you guys for a little bit. Okay. How long does this stuff last?
Can I slap him in the face?
No, it lasts for like 2 hours.
All right, damn. Can I?
No, it lasts for 1 hour. What am I talking about? It's actually written down. It lasts for 1 hour.
You can try and get it out of your system by putting your fingers in your mouth.
I swear to God, if you wiggle your goddamn pinky at him.
Roll a deception.
Yeah, it's what I do. It's what I do. Is it what I do? It is what I do. That's a 26.
His eyes narrow, his mouth opens, and his finger just glides in. And then he retches a little bit and he says, that didn't do anything.
But it was fun to watch you do it.
I like you.
You a freak.
You're all right. Ronaldo, all right.
And you're all right. For a moron.
I know what that means right now.
Oh, shit. Maybe you should stick your finger in your mouth again.
Is this a mating ritual amongst your people?
Is it Eldore or Promethean?
I think it might be how they feed.
How do you think I lost my finger?
So anyway, there's been a very uncomfortable for everyone else, and actually for Pax as well, sort of interaction between Pax and Dora there. Pax feels obliged to go with you whilst you plan, so I guess, you know, finalise your plans and then we can do this shit.
How are we planning to breach? Because it might be a good idea to pick up some more stuff from the store.
Way ahead of you, buddy. I've got 3 breaching charges with your name on it.
I was thinking more like plasma torch for a more covert entry.
I got that too.
Yeah, that is a better idea.
Oh, wait, no, we couldn't get any butane torches, could we?
But can we get plasma torches?
Let me check the equipment.
Or could we get something to hack the airlock from the outside?
That'd be preferable, but if we end up... Do we have schematics? Pax, do we have schematics for this ship? Any sort of intelligence we can draw on?
No. We have basic understanding of how an Infinity Core ship is built, but specifics of the Sao Paulo, not so much.
Conclave spies leave a lot to be desired.
Well, we try not to spy too much, considering we're all meant to be on the same side.
Call this a Cold War, honestly.
Well, no, it's a fairly new...
Call this a Cold War.
I don't want to talk to him anymore. He seems aggressive.
Thought you would enjoy that, actually.
Really? Rebook?
Just don't corner me an event and we'll be fine.
Are you wearing your vest?
Surprisingly enough, there is nothing in the manual about a propane torch.
It's plasma
torch. Or a plasma torch. Plasma torch isn't in there, is it?
Page 140. I'm looking at it right now.
My God, he's right.
Oh God,
this small
right.
Handheld torch deals 3d6 points of fire damage each round to an immobile object not worn by another creature. The torch requires precision to operate effectively. If used as an improvised weapon, its damage is reduced to 1d6.
Well, goddamn, that does exist. It does exist. To be fair, like it does exist, but 3d6 damage against a capital ship isn't much damage.
It wouldn't be against the capital ship, it would be against the door.
It would be against a door hinge. We're not trying to cut it in half.
Although I would be a bit concerned if they were using airlocks with hinges.
Of course it has a hinge. It has a hinge.
I've got a little bolt lock. You have to...
She's got a chub key. Just...
Yeah, that's fine. You can you can get a plasma torch.
Leave it on the latch.
You can use it for that purpose. You also have the demolition charges.
First protocol is we get there, we try and hack it open. We can't hack it, we'll plasma torch it. If we get made, we demolition charge.
Yeah.
If we'll end up with the latter, yes. That's a sensible approach. And I know how you all feel about holding hands, especially with Dora and her fingers, but maybe some microfilament wire to attach between us?
I bought some more monofilament wire, so we've got that. Has everyone bought magnetic boots as well? Because they will come in very handy.
Oh, God, yes.
I did say no last session just because I was being pissy because I realised that I gave you a free line of credit and you can do whatever you want. But you can have them. That is okay.
Magnetic boots?
And I guess any sort of space suit upgrades we can have.
Oh, no, that's already sorted. Like, your spacesuits are capable of correctional flight.
Snazzy.
I just send a little text to Phineas quickly just saying, got any space apples? JK, JK, JK. We're going to save the universe. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, after a few seconds, you just get a response saying, you sick bastard.
Or a laugh maniacally.
So Pax is still there whilst you discuss the extra bits of equipment that you need to get. So let's say that you're discussing this, you go and get the equipment later, you do get it, it's fine. Whilst you're discussing the extra equipment, Pax says, so when do you want the ship to explode?
5 hours after we push off.
Or do we want it slightly before so they investigate?
It might take us some time to drill through the bulkhead.
Surely we've got somewhere sending a signal, like a beep. I'll page you.
Well, no, because the comms are completely jammed, aren't they?
Yeah, from what you've experienced in this location of space, comms are completely jammed. I was talking to a pilot before who said basically they're using lights to signal each other. So there's just no comms at all.
And if we want to remain hidden, we can't really go flashing our location.
Also, in terms of distance, you would have to have a fucking powerful light to send a signal that far, which you can't really carry with you. You're not a fighter. Fighters aren't even sending it that far.
I think you'll find I'm a level 7 fighter.
No, you're a level 7 warrior.
Oh, damn. Oh, warrior?
It is warrior, isn't it?
It's warrior, yeah.
Yeah, suck it.
So you want the ship to explode 5 hours after you push off? That's fine.
Make it 4.
4 hours after you push off. Didn't you say the jump takes... It does take 4 hours. Does it?
It takes 5, but we want to get the ships investigating. To be fair, how long would it take the ships to investigate from the Sao Paulo relative to where the ship's going to be exploding?
Well, it'll be about 3 hours, give or take. Depends where they send them from.
But they'll also be scanning, so let's have it a little close. Do you think you could blow the ship sort of 4 hours and 45 minutes into the jump?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know personally, but I can talk to some tech guys and they can make that happen, I'm sure.
Cool.
And if they don't, I'll court-martial them or something. I don't care.
I mean, don't go that far. I'm sure they're trying their best.
Do you want it to happen or not? I don't...
Yes, I would. I apologise, yes. Please and thank you.
Fucking amateur hour in here. I kid. You're all right for a human.
Someone's coming down off of their thinking juice.
Oh shit, is it that? Is that what you gave me?
I don't know what you're talking about. You just had a bit of rum, mate. What? I can't handle your booze, bloody hell.
Okay.
Did you spike him? Is that what you did? Did you spike him?
Look, I don't know what you're talking about, and I don't know what you're talking about. Let's just do the fucking job.
So the plan is you're going to jump off and you are going to send a Promethean ship to be scuttled 4 hours and 45 minutes after your jump, about 50 minutes before you intend on landing.
Well, no, we thought the trip would take 5 to 6 hours.
Well, Dora's estimate based on her thinking juice was 5 hours. And she rolled a good estimate.
I think 4.5 then.
Okay. Fine. Good. Done.
Cool. All right, boys. Shall we suit up?
Hi, and just want to say, whichever one of us definitely balls is this and ends up getting spaced.
Reboot looks a bit shit.
Just remember, don't panic. You've got 18 hours to make peace.
That's very true, and I just want to say to you all, I've been around a long while, and I've had a lot of crews, and we've already always fucked each other over, and I'm proud to say that this is the only crew so far that's not fucked me over. And I'm proud to be a part of the crew.
Part of the ship, part of the crew.
Exactly. You're a bunch of weirdos, and that's my bag.
You all right?
Here, here.
Is that being called a weirdo by Dora?
I'm okay with it.
That's when you know you are a proper weirdo, though, Hud, right? I slap him on the back. And I would like to, before we do this entire jump, just spend the rest of the time on the rows in the captain's chair. Just.
Yes, that's fine to do, because whilst you're prepping, one of you needs to do an astrophysics check to try and figure out how you're going to do this jump.
Who's got the best astrophysics?
I'm +4.
I'm also +4. So is your plan, Demaster? Do you want to plot the course?
You can, Hud, give assistance.
I was planning on doing some like training with Rebook, because I've got the pilot background and like, I'm proficient in space and land piloting. I was thinking I might be able to kind of like just do some like basic kind of crash training with Rebook.
No, don't crash.
The emphasis on crash.
And maybe give him like a bonus to his checks, like, or his initial check anyway.
All right, yep.
I got a 17 on the astrophysics.
Okay. So, you figure out the optimal point to jump from the Promethean ship. You figure out the direction that you need to go in, bearing in mind there are a lot of directions in space.
Several, yes.
You figure out an average speed that you can make. And based on your understanding, you're aware that you need to make probably 4 course corrections, and once you're getting nearer, you're going to need to make a judgment call. Someone's going to need to make a judgment call on when to start slowing down. Yeah, so you do manage to plot it fairly. Well, you're fairly confident in this course.
Fairly confident is about what I can go with.
It's not something that any of you have ever done before on this range, so there's still a little bit of trepidation about doing something like this.
Tell you, never thought I'd die flying side by side with a Dendu.
How about side by side with a Threak?
Aye, that I can do.
Hud has one final cigarette inside the suit.
you want to have that for a few hours, yeah, I get that.
There's just smoke inside the space suit. That's all anyone can see.
Including you.
Yeah.
Now, there's a pretty good air filtration system. The smell will stick around, but the smoke will go.
Fair enough.
So, yeah, you guys make your way out onto the hull of the Promethean ship to the point that Dumas has selected. Looking around and up and in more directions than you've felt like you've ever been able to look in before, the scale of this is kind of overwhelming, particularly for Yuri Book, because apart from your brief training with Hud, you've never really spacewalked. this is a new experience for you entirely. And looking up in the direction that you intend to travel, you can see really, really distant this bright glowing globe that is Silrain Prime's star. And then there's a smaller, darker circle. You can barely make out that you presume is the crucible. And then around that, there are just these tiny flecks of light. And none of you, even Dumas, can pick out which of those flecks of light is the one that you're aiming for. And as you stand there looking up, gathering yourselves, the impossibility of what you're about to try for a second grips hold of you, but you're able to push it down and you look up and push off and ignite your thrusters and just head off across this void.
Well, that's what you call committing.
And time passes, and it's crazy because you know that you're moving fast. You know that the speed that you're going at is a little bit ridiculous, but you don't feel anything. And you look down, and yeah, the Promethean ship, you can see it moving away, but then you look up, and those tiny dots in the distance don't get any closer. Again, it's just a very disorienting feeling. You kind of have to close your eyes and take a few deep breaths and focus on things that are nearer. You have to end up looking at each other to try and gain bearing. But all of this gives the illusion that you're not moving, which is very unsettling. Dumas, I'm going to say you've set some alarms for those course corrections. That calculation was enough that you are aware of roughly when you're going to need to make them. So about an hour into this flight, a beep goes off in your helmet and you make some quick calculations and all of you now need to make an intelligence or wisdom check. If you want to apply any specific skills to this, you can, but it needs to be intelligence or wisdom based.
I don't suppose I could do a piloting check, could I?
Yeah, piloting would work.
Can I use my wrist computer to help me calculate the corrections and roll a computer's check?
If you're doing that, it would have to be an astrophysics check, but with advantage because you are using your computer.
Okay, I can take that.
Dory, your thinking juice will have run out.
That's what I was about to ask. Okay.
Yeah, it only lasts an hour, so you're about an hour into the flight.
So I rolled a 1 and a 20.
Ooh.
So that's a 24.
Okay.
I rolled a 9.
9 total.
9 total. Oh, actually, no, I didn't. 9. 11 total.
Okay.
So 22 for reboot.
Okay.
So the choice is wisdom or intelligence?
Wisdom or intelligence, and you can apply any relevant skills as long as you can, you know, make a decent argument for it.
She doesn't have any relevant skills.
That's unsurprising.
Unless you count perception.
Not really, no.
She perceives that Dumas's alarm went off and...
She perceives that she has some relevant skills.
She can certainly make... She's making a course correction, but perception is, you know, noticing something that you wouldn't otherwise have noticed.
Well, it's a straight wisdom. No, you can actively perceive something. But we'll beg to differ. I'll make a straight wisdom throw, which is a 10.
Okay. Based on what you're all capable of understanding from the movements that your different forms take, that was a weird way of saying that. You all move in different, slightly different directions, but you are still on more or less the same course. Dumas and Rebook, you are fairly confident you're on more or less a direct course where you should be going. Hud and Dora, you're going in the right direction. You know that. You've not gone too far off course. And this weirdly quiet journey kind of continues. That small moment of excitement passes. And yeah, Dora and Hud, you You do kind of notice after about 45 minutes, you're a little bit further away from Dumas and Reboot, who seem to be more or less in a tangent with each other. But you're still fairly confident you're heading in the right direction. And can you now all roll again? Dumas and Reboot, you have advantage because you rolled so well. Dora and Hud, you don't have advantage.
That's a 22.
Ooh, natural 20 this time.
That's a 15 with advantage.
A 6.
6. So, as you are getting nearer, you're probably about halfway there. Dumas, you spot it before your alarm goes off to alert you to the course correction. You spot this small cloud of debris. And Dumas, Hud, and Reboot, you manage to fire your thruster sort of spin away and out and back in and line up so that you're heading in the right direction. Dora, you spot the debris and you fire off a slightly different direction and you manage to avoid the debris, but you're not quite on the same course as everyone else at the minute. Again, it's not far enough away that you can't keep an eye on them, but you're more than aware that over the distance that you're traveling now, you're not going to land in the same place as them.
Watch your trajectory, lass. Keep on us.
You still can't make out the specific shape of the Sao Paulo that you're heading for. So you don't know if you're going to land on the Sao Paulo or just fly past
miss it entirely.
Or miss it entirely.
Do we have internal comms in the spacesuits? Has Dumas just said that to me? Or is
yeah, I presume that. I presume we do, and that I'm saying that to you.
We're on the comm beads, aren't we?
Yeah, I'm going to say that the ship-to-ship comm jammers won't necessarily work over small distances that these suits are within each other.
I just say back to him, thanks, mate. I'm trying my best, but I'm not really... This isn't really my forte. Usually I sit in a chair and I drink and see where the vessel takes me, but this one, I'm pretty fucked.
I believe it or not, we're all winging this a little bit.
I'll try and recorrect my course, if I can. With a little thrust. What we need is thrust!
Excellent Chicken Run reference.
I missed that, I've got to admit, but I'm glad that you pointed it out.
Yeah, me too. Like, I 100% agree with everything Tom just said. It was all delightful. I'm glad you made that reference. I'm glad you got it. Tom Owen, where were you? This is your bag, references.
I know. I've let the side down. Let myself down. I'm going to let the ox...
I'm disappointed, but I'm not delighted.
Okay, I just thought I'd update you. I'm drinking a very unusual drink for a podcast night. This is Cointreau.
Whoa!
I know. Just Cointreau. And Tom, you know what?
Don't hate it. Leave your number with the producer. We can get you the help you need.
No, we can't. No, we can't.
We can get a bottle of tequila to go with that.
I do not hate it.
John, were these... just to double check, these are checks, not saving throws.
Yes, they are checks.
So if I wanted to, I could cast space guidance on me and it would be fine.
Yes, there is nothing to stop you doing that.
It's not like I was prompted in the chat to do that, by the way, guys. Listeners.
F's in the chat.
Pay respects to Dora. You cut that. But it's an action. I don't like if a DM says to me, make, if it is a guidance is an action, right? So it, you have to like pre-prepare it or whatever.
I'm making you make checks. It's not an action to make a check.
True.
Not a saving throw to make a check. You are having to make checks. So this long flight carries on. Something that catches your eye is you spot a small comet just gliding past. Like it didn't go past you. You couldn't reach out and touch it. That would be crazy. But you see, there's a small comet that glides through the system. That's something to keep your eyes on for a little bit. But it's also a little bit, again, disorientating. Right now, you are, as far as you can tell, about 3 hours away from anything. You can't see the ship that you leapt from. You can't really see the ship that you're leaping to. The Infinity Corps fleet has seemed to have... It's nearer. You can see the bulk of these vessels. Dumas, you do have the Sao Paulo registered on your scanners, so you are able to pick it out and send that blip through to the rest of them. But physically looking, you can't quite see it. You feel very distant from anything apart from each other. And Dora, you in particular, actually, you're kind of starting to lose sight of the other three. You can still see them just about, but over this distance, they've drifted away a little bit, and you're very aware that your course is not right.
Can I try and course correct with the thrusters?
There is a limited fuel supply on the thrusters, so making too many course corrections is going to...
True, but I think if I'm nearly at the periphery of... Maybe I should get a little bit back towards them. Just slight.
So this is about the time that everyone needs to make a course correction anyway, so you can try and shift yourself back onto course.
Do any of us have advantage?
Yes, Dumas and Hud both have advantage. Reboot, you don't have advantage.
What's the roll, sorry?
Same again, it's intelligence or wisdom with whatever skills you choose to apply.
Oh, great. So I'm dead.
Six for Reboot.
23 for Hud.
It's 16 for Dumas.
Did you use your guidance, Dora?
12. Oh, guidance, yes. I use space guidance, also known as enhance ability or something like that. Amplifying ability, because it's...
Space.
Performance enhancing magic, maybe.
Ooh, that was pretty good. 16.
Okay. So, Dumas and Hud, you managed to steer yourselves pretty accurately towards what you starting to make out as the Sao Paulo. Again, like the ship doesn't seem particularly familiar, but based on the sensor readings from Dumas, you're aware that that probably is. Dory, you're actually able to correct your course pretty well, and you're following almost entirely behind Dumas and Hud. Reboot, the scale of what you're trying to do right now overwhelms you as you start to see these ships looming bigger and you're not quite sure which one to pick out. Even though the information is being sent to you, you start panicking and you overcompensate. You're still, again, on a tangent with everyone else, but you're not sure if the direction that you're currently heading is going to be enough to bring you to land on the surface of the Sao Paulo.
I'm going to click through to Reboot and say, Reboot, use your drone to correct your course.
Reboot was hyperventilating up until this point and starts thinking back, and he hears her voice and the training montage from earlier.
Which is literally just one scene of HUD saying, press this button.
Yeah, but over an 80s like soundtrack.
What's the song? Come on.
You know what song it is.
Playing with the boys.
No.
Hit me with your best shot.
Gonna need a montage. Gonna need a montage.
Can I use my drone speed to...
Roll a wisdom save.
Is that with the drone stats on mine?
With your stats, because the drone is going to kind of have to remain attached to you, so you're just igniting it.
That's true.
Essentially.
Huh. Better. But it's an 8.
Your course is still not quite right. Like, you shift a little bit nearer, but it seems like your trajectory is not quite on course right now. And over the next 45 minutes to an hour, these shapes that are ahead of you start looming larger and larger, to the point where you're able to physically pick out what is the Sao Paulo. At the minute, it looks a little bit like Reboot is going to slightly overshoot the nose of the ship. The rest of you find yourself scanning for a hatch, any possible entrance, and you spot from the angle that you're coming at, there's two higher up on the ship, and there's one lower down. That those are the two specific hatches you can spot that you can aim for. But obviously landing on the ship in any way is going to help. And it's at this point that you kind of, just out of the corner of your eye, you see this bright flash. And you look and you don't really, there's nothing to see in particular. There was just a bright flash that caught your attention for a second. And looking around, you can see there's a catch of the light as what you didn't realize were there before, but these fighters swoop round and move out towards wherever that flash of light came from. Then you realize that the Infinity Corps ships are all painted black because that is a good way of hiding in space. But nonetheless, there are reflective surfaces. So you spot these ships sort of fly out in that direction. And you can see a couple of large signal dishes swoop round on the Sao Paulo and on a couple of the other ships nearby. But in terms of making your way towards the ship, you are going to all need to make another intelligence or wisdom check. Reboot, you can try and use the drone one more time to give yourself advantage, or you can use it afterwards if you want to try and correct a course if you fail. It will mean that the drone is spent for the rest of this excursion. Like, if you do use it, you're basically going to be using up all of its fuel reserves.
Try without first.
With amplifiability, I got a 23.
Okay. Anyone that rolled over a 20 on the last check, by the way, has advantage.
Cool.
I'm a 17 on this one.
I got a 23.
16 without the drone.
Using your comms, you're able to pick which hatch you go to, and you all manage to direct yourselves in the right direction. So I need to know now, are you going the single one on the lower deck or the two on the upper deck?
The one by the engine room.
You don't have access to that information.
When we met Korchev last time, was it on one of the higher decks? Did we go up?
You both use the same airlock. So you don't know because you don't know how many other airlocks there are on this ship, but your assumption would be that it has to be two near each other rather than a single one.
So let's aim for the two near each other then.
Are we close enough to breach to the same spot after them rolls?
You will all be able to land fairly near each other.
And then we just magnetic boots over to each other.
It might take a little bit of time, but from what you've gathered, there's not a lot of attention being paid to you right now. It seems to have gone in that flash.
I've been 7 miles sitting. Well, is that the music that plays while we're like kind of smashing over to each other?
Ground control's a major song. I've really got to go.
It was like if David Bowie was like having a child with Bob Dylan.
So you guide yourselves. Reboot, you managed to make a pretty accurate course correction, and you land a little bit further out than everyone else, but you all land fairly near these two airlocks. I say upper deck, that's actually just for my orientation. For you, you've landed on this hull. This very similar gunmetal grey exterior stretches out around you in all directions, again curving away. Smooth terrain is punctuated with aerials, and you can see more than a dozen enormous ship-to-ship cannons that twitch noiselessly, tracking targets on the other side of no man's land, and you see these satellites that are sort of twitching towards where this flash came from. There's really only a small lip that indicates the hatch that you were aiming for. And you also breathe a sigh of relief as there's this solid metal beneath your feet, particularly Reboot and Dora, who had some fairly sketchy moments there. You start to feel the sweat that was building dry as you realize that you are kind of safe. And then the thought of what you're about to do dawns on you, and you realize that you need to break into a capital ship and kidnap its commanding officer. And that doesn't seem like a particularly pleasant task, but given what you've just accomplished, it seems maybe doable.